This morning we look at the fellowship that we have with God. If you have your Bible, our exposition is coming from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter, which is not much. It's down to verse 10. And then we'll go 2 verses into chapter 2, which they seem to me to belong together very well. And I think that you'll get much from this. And we'll make a little bit further application in this. This lesson is going to help you a lot when it comes to your assurance and confidence of your salvation. Or it might be for some a way of conviction of knowing what changes we need to make and how we do that. How is it that I can take any initiative in changing who I am and my fellowship and relationship with God? And so to one extent, we'd be thinking, well, you know, that would be mostly on God's part. But it is also on ours, isn't it, that we would do what we need to do in our faith and obedience to Him. So we're going to talk more about that this morning from 1 John chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with us. And then I'll try, most of these scriptures I will put up on the screen, but at exposition we'll be reading from the text. All right, before we do that, ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time of study. We thank You for the scriptures. We thank You for John's epistle here that greatly encourages us and strengthens our faith, and that it's written to keep us from sin, to keep us away from the world and from the antichrist thinking that is in the world. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for the assurance and confidence that we have of Your grace and of Your the forgiveness that is through Jesus Christ, that all of our sins are washed away as we walk in the light, and You are the light. Father, we thank You for that great confidence, encouragement, and we ask Your blessings upon us all as we study Your Word in this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We start looking at this, we see God's blessing. God loves you, and He has given you continual forgiveness. For those who have been baptized, who've been born again in Christ, who've been born of the water and the Spirit, you become a Christian, you've done so because you first believed, and you repented of your sins, and you confessed your faith. And that continual forgiveness is there. I've always liked the illustration I've shared with you before. I remember one of my ministers growing up, he said, the grace of God is like living under a waterfall, and that you can pick up mud and put it on you, and it will wash right off. But if you step out from the grace of God and from that continual cleansing, and you begin to put that mud on you, it will stick, and it will dry, and it will harden. So you start thinking about that. And I see a lot of that application. Every time I come to 1 John chapter 1 and I read about the cleansing of Christ's blood, and I see the cleansing away of our sins that's mentioned here and living in the light of God, I often reflect upon that illustration. And it sticks in my mind that I want to continually be in the cleansing of Christ and in the blessings that are there. So we're going to read now from 1 John chapter 1, and beginning in verses 5 down to chapter 2 and verse 2. And then we're going to draw some out and make some observations that we see here in the text. So this is what John says. He says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you. We've gotten this from God. He's talking on behalf of all the apostles, inspired writers that lived with God, that lived with Christ when He was on the earth. You can read that in the verses before. So this message we've heard and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And so that reminds me a lot of what John was saying in his gospel. Christ and Christ's claim that He is the light of the world. So God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have a fellowship, we have a relationship, a partnership with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now notice that. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 7. I love this scripture. It says, but we walk in the light, and as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's fellowship with God. And I don't think it's to the exclusion of Christians either, to all in the body. But we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, not a few sin. As long as we walk in the light, all of our sins are being cleansed away. That's the extent of the grace of Christ. That is the grace. And a lot of have said, you know, can I continue in sin that grace may abound? You remember that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1? And Paul says there, this cannot be. Literally in Greek, that's what he says. This cannot be true. If you've been saved from it, There's no reason to go back to it and live in it and think that you're going to be cleansed from it any further. All right, let's keep reading, verses 8 through 10. He says, and if we say we have no sin, notice that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You can deceive yourself. And one way of doing that is saying, oh, I don't sin. I've never committed a sin. Well, then you're denying what? The cleansing of the blood of Christ and His grace. And the whole purpose of Christ coming. He says, the truth is not in us. We want the truth in us. We want God's Word to abide in us. And John emphasizes that throughout his epistle. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins... And there's some discussion over this. I think primarily we're looking at here is a confession of our sins to our Father in heaven. Like we read about in Acts chapter 8. Remember Simon the sorcerer who sinned, and Peter told him to confess his sin and pray to God for forgiveness. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is God faithful and just to forgive us our sins? It's not because it's impending upon Him to be just in doing that. It's because He promised it, and He promised it through Jesus Christ. Therefore, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to release us from our sins, and notice this again, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from every bit of it, from all sins. And again, this reminds me of Colossians 2 and verse 13, where the passage says there that when we've been raised up from baptism, Colossians 2:12 and 13, he says that He cleanses us and washes us from all of our sins. All right, look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Now, who's going to call God a liar? You'd be a fool to do that. God is right. You cannot go around being boastful and saying, I've never sinned before. I've never had any sin. And he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So there's a humility here before God that, yes, I need the cleansing of the blood of Christ. And again, notice here, he says in verse 8, if you say this, the truth is not in us. And in verse 10, if you say this, you have not sinned, the word is not in us. All right, look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. He says, my little children, I am writing these things. I'm writing these things to you, so that you may not sin. When you know the grace of Christ and you know God's love, those things compel you to live apart from sin, to be separated from them, to not go from them because you've already been cleansed from them. It makes no sense to go back to it. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, because we do sin, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, we have an encourager, we have someone who comes beside us, as the Greek word is parakletos, one who comes beside you, an advocate with the Father. And who is he? Who is beside God on our behalf, mediating on our behalf? It is Christ. He is at the right hand of God. So Jesus Christ, the righteous, He is there. Look at verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? Propitiation means He is the appeasement. He is the atonement. And if you want a simpler word, He is the means of peace by God's mercy. So when you see that word propitiation, think peace and mercy. So He is the means of mercy and peace for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And now He's going to contrast us, the believers, from the world. And of course, the world itself does not want that. If they don't believe in it, they don't have it. Even though it's there for everybody, anybody can come and be saved. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 that God wants all men to come to Christ and to be saved. We read about, and we see that in 2 Peter. Is it 2 Peter? 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it is, where Peter says that God wants all people to come to repentance and to be saved and not to perish. So, again, what did we just read here? Just as a review and thinking about this, some of the thoughts that stand out to me as I'm trying to reword them and think about them, and I make these points to help me to study deeper into the Scriptures. Well, because God is light, no one can walk in darkness and actually be in a unity with Him or communion with Him. That word for fellowship means communion. It's the same in Greek. It's a sharing with God. It is that fellowship with Him. And there's no unity with God if you continue to live in sin when God is the light. And so God wants us to be cleansed from it, to step away from it. And we get the tools in the Bible to be able to do that. A lot of us feel weak. You should feel weak because our flesh is weak. We did a whole sermon series from Romans 6 through 8 in September, talking about the weakness of the flesh and the strength that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right, so look here as well. We see that those who claim God but do not practice the truth are lying. So, I believe. There's a lot of people today who say, I believe in God, I believe in Christ. But are they faithful to Him? Do they follow Him? And even though they claim His grace, do they then live in sin? Well, we want to examine ourselves. Do we do that? And there's a big difference in John. There's a difference between practicing sin, which is to walk in darkness, and then to walk in the light where we will or have sinned, and where we have the constant forgiveness of Christ. There's a big difference there. And we see this like in Hebrews 10 and verse 26, where the writer of Hebrews says that if you willfully continue in sin, there remains no more sacrifice for your sin. So there's a distinction there. There's one who chooses to live in it, and there's one who strives to follow after God, even though he may stumble. But you can still walk in the light, as it says here in the text, and yet you will sin. Not that you're practicing sin, but that you can and will do that. Those who walk in the light, living a godly life, have communion with God. We have unity with God. And so what we've read here is that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We also see this. It seems adamant, like we read about in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, where Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We read here, all have sinned, and believers cannot say that they have no sin. And you see the damage that would do to someone who had a mindset like that, to say, well, at one time I was cleansed of my sins, or I made things right, or I God owes it to me because I'm such a good person. I do more good than bad, therefore He owes me salvation to me. And there are some who thought that way and continue to think that way, who are not studying and looking at what the Scriptures have to say. But God forgives those who confess their sins, and He cleanses them from all righteousness and all sin. And all this is written to help us as Christians. And we're going to look a little bit more about that and a few other passages here in 1 John that will encourage us in that. However, when Christians sin, they have Christ, again, as our advocate. And I thank God for that. He is our means of mercy and peace. Because I know that I can't save myself. We know what it's like to struggle. We know the burdens of sin and the temptations that's in the world. Doesn't matter how old you are, what gender you are, that all those things, we all know what it's like. And I think about that. I reflect on it all the time. I think about that. I think about the weaknesses and the temptations, and I think, God, I need You. God, help me. That's constantly in my prayers. God, I don't know what to do next. Bless me. Constantly doing that, but I know this, that I trust in Him, and I'm putting my faith in Him when I'm turning it over to Him, asking for His help. And so when we look here, we see the state of grace and forgiveness. Christians must walk in God's light, and we must confess our sins. And if we read passages, other passages like James chapter 5, it says we need to confess our sins one to another. And so you think about this, walk in God's light, confessing your sins to the Father, confessing your sins to be forgiven of all of them, to receive that encouragement and help from others around you. We need to do that. But what do you think about? What do you think about your sin? Do you hide it? Do you ignore it? I think some people think, well, I've got this sin, and there's this thing in my life, and I know the Scriptures say, and Jesus says, and the apostles and prophets say that it's wrong, but I've got an excuse. It's my life, and I don't know any other way around it. I've been in it for too long. And I've heard people say this and reason like this. Sometimes we reason like this and say, well, of course, you know, God knows that I'm going to do certain things. And it's okay for me. It's okay for me to continue to give into it. But that's not what we see here in the Scriptures. We don't have permission to just willfully turn and give up. And I'm going to encourage you with this, because everybody in here, I know we have things that tempt us, and some things more than others, and each individually. But we read this, like, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, don't say that your sin unlike any other person, and that you have a sin that's an exception. There are always somebody out there saying, you just don't understand what I'm tempted by and what I have to do. And we can rationalize that, and we can make excuses like that. But the Scriptures are very clear right here of what John says. He says that you are to walk in the light. You can't make any other excuse. I want to walk in the light. And I want to follow God. What can I do to help? And what instruction and help does Paul, does John, excuse me, John give me right here to help me? And I can also refer to Paul and go back to Romans and read Romans 8 again. What has God given me to help me? And this is throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament, that constant aid and help. And I'm so concerned that there are so many believers out there who've given up on being disciples. They've given up on being followers. They've given up on reading God's Word. They've given up on being a part of the church and part of the body of Christ. And they're not studying anymore. Yet they want to say, but I'm not like those people. There's always somebody else in society and you can point to and say, well, I'm not like them. I'm holier than they are. And I find it oftentimes as people who will claim God but not walk in the light who will make that self-righteous claim. I'm right on my own. We also know this. The Scriptures constantly tell us. Colossians says this. Ephesians says this. I'm thinking about Ephesians 4 right now. It says that when we once lived in the futility of our minds and sinfulness, we were alienated from God. We were separated from Him. Colossians talks about us being alienated because of our sins. Ephesians 2 says this as well. We read it in Isaiah 59 and verse 1. That is our sins that have separated us from God. Sin is what affects our relationship and our fellowship and our partnership with God. And God has done all that He can. He knew it ahead of time. He knew that what we were going to do. And He's provided a means and a way through Jesus Christ for us to be saved. Now, John emphasizes here, I'm going to look at this passage here in 1 John chapter 3. He talks about there are people in the world in John's time who are saying, listen, we're not like you Christians. You Christians are lawless. And that was a lot of the claims. And you can hear that those claims now in society. You Christians are lawless. You don't follow what society says and how things go here and the social structure and what people say should be the way it is in the world. And yet, John has some revealing words here. He says, nobody can claim to be completely, to be the one who's obedient to the law and then put it all on the Christians. He says, listen to this. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. And he says, they can claim to be following the law, but if they're living in sin, they're rebelling against God. That's what you do when you sin. You're going against God and His design, how He instituted it. And he makes a practice of sin. He is also practicing lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So apparently, we're all under lawlessness. When we sin, when we've done wrong. He says, you know that He appeared. God, Christ has appeared in order to take away sin. He came for that reason. And in Him, there is no sin. There is no sin in Christ. And if we're in Christ, we cannot continue to live in sin. And then to think that we have a unity in communion with Him. And listen to this. He says, no one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. I specifically went back to the ESV this morning to look at the translation here and what the Greek text says to convey that point. It is one who keeps on sinning, who continues to practice a sin. It says, no one who abides in Him. You're not abiding and remaining. You're not dwelling in God if you keep on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has never seen Him or known Him. And I want you to notice that because that's a big thing throughout the gospel and throughout the New Testament. And here we see in 1 John is that you don't know God if you continue to live in sin. I want to know Him. There's no greater thing for me to know Him but than to see Him. Remember Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 3, which I'm going to reference again in a moment. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you know God and you know His Son. So if I'm struggling with sin and temptation, I want to know my God more. If I'm practicing sin, I cannot say that I truly know Him, and I need to go and return to Him and go to the Scriptures, go to His Word, go to Christ and look at His life and live in those teachings. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Look at verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed, the Word of God, God's seed abides in him, remains in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And there we have the promises. Do you know Christ? You know, the message that we take with us every day throughout the week, that we're sharing with others, you think about that. I'm always thinking about those who are around me that I know. who are struggling. They have trials and temptations. They're not faithful as they should be. What can I do to encourage them? I think about it and I pray about this all the time. John 17, verse 3, as I just referenced, and this is eternal life, that they know you. Jesus is praying to the Father here. He says that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. That's essential. Jesus says those who abide in His Word, they're free from sin. There's freedom in it. And that you're truly His disciple if you abide in His Word. That you know what He teaches. You know the truth of Him. To be filled with the knowledge of God, another passage that comes to mind is Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 10. To be filled with the knowledge of God and His wisdom allows us to walk worthy of God and to do every good work. God is able to work through us. We've got to live in the Word and walk in it and live in the light. Now, I think some people might read 1 John chapter 1. And I don't want anybody to be discouraged by it. I think some people, they feel that guilt and they know I've been doing wrong. And their reaction is to push away from God, push away from the reminders of it, push the Bible somewhere else, to put it under the papers, to hide it, to put it somewhere else, put it up on the bookshelf where they don't look at it, that to push away the church, to keep those family members and friends away who are constantly a reminder to them that they need to repent and change, because some have just given up. And we should never give up. So what we need is the confidence and assurance. And that's what John teaches as well. 1 John chapter 3, 19 through 22. John says this, "By this, loving God and others, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him." We can know that we're of the truth when we're loving God and others. And we assure our heart. Notice that. We have confidence in our heart. Notice what he says about the heart. "For whenever our heart condemns us," when your conscience says, when you put the word with your conscience and is directed in the right direction, you will know when you sin. He says, "For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything." So yes, our heart can convict us, but God knows even more. He says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." We want to have that confidence and assurance. And I'm walking in the light. And by knowing God, I can have that confidence. And he says, "And whatever we ask," when we pray to Him, "whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." And when we love God and we love others, when we know God, we're going to keep His commandments. Some passages, there are four passages that stand out to me. They use the word assurance or confidence, depending on your translation here, throughout 1 John. I want you to notice this. "Those who remain in God have confidence before Him that when He comes, they will not be put to shame." I want that confidence. The Lord comes back right now, that I'm not going to be hiding in shame, but that I remember, yes, I've committed sins, but I'm walking in the light, and my sins have been washed away, and I thank Christ. And I'm happy and rejoiced to see Him. That I'm not rebelling against God and moving away from Him. All right, 1 John 3 and verse 21 is part of what we just read. We have confidence before God when our heart does not condemn us. We see this as well, 1 John chapter 4. "Because we know and believe the love of God through Jesus Christ, we have confidence before God on the day of judgment." Confidence before Him on the day of judgment. And so we don't fear. It says there in 1 John chapter 4. Love casts out all fear. 1 John 5 and verse 14, toward the end of the text, John says, "Knowing that we have eternal life also gives us confidence that God hears whatever we ask and gives them to Him." And so that's stated twice there, that if we follow God and we trust in Him and we pray to Him, we know that we will have and that we will receive from Him those blessings. The core virtue, and this is a part of our reading this morning, of faith in God is love. So to put all this together, how can we have confidence? How can we walk in the light? We need to know God. We need to love Him. And when you love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. And when you love God, you're going to love those of whom God loves. And 1 John chapter 5 says that. It says that when we love God, we're going to love others. And by loving others, we're going to keep God's commandments. And not just out of love toward God, because we love those who are around us. Those who are in the faith that we care about. I think about this passage here, 1 John 3, 23 and 24. "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Christ and His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God. You want to know, am I abiding with God? I'm keeping His commandments. And God is in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. God has given us His Spirit, Ephesians 3:16, and His Spirit strengthens us. So I encourage you this morning, you have confidence that you have fellowship with God, that you have unity with God. These passages here, for them, they're meant to encourage us, but on the other hand, they're also to open our eyes if we are walking in darkness, that we need to repent, to change, and to know. The whole text is telling us what we need to do so we can have confidence before God, so we can walk in the truth, so we can live in love. I want to finish with this passage here as a part of our invitation. You think about what we've read here. To know God, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, and to love Him changes us. The core virtue of the Christian faith is love. And I love this passage right here, 1 John 5:4-5. I love all these scriptures. But you know, you stand out and you think about them, and every my favorite scripture tends to be the one I'm reading. So 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. Have you been born of God? What does Jesus say? And Garland reminded us last week what Jesus said in John 3:5. Unless you're born of the water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born of God? He says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. You've overcome the world. And that is a whole other message here. I could go right back through 1 John and stress the distinction between us and the Antichrist world. And if you've been born of God, you've overcome the world with the sin, with the Antichrist nature to it, rebellion against God and darkness. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the victory. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Encourage this morning. Believe. Trust in God. Trust in Christ. Pray. Give your life to Him. Know who your Creator is and know His Son. And by that means, you will walk in the light. You will live by faith. And you will have the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. I thank God for that. That's the grace of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you been born again? Have you been born of water? I think about passages like Romans 6 that says that when we die to our sins and die to our old self, that we bury that old person in baptism and we rise to the newness of life with the hope of the resurrection. This morning, if you want to put on Christ in baptism, we encourage you to do so and come forward. If you need prayers and encouragement, you can come forward. If you don't feel very comfortable in coming forward, find one of the men in the congregation or women in the congregation and let's pray together, encourage one another. Let's be there for one another. Whatever your needs are, we encourage you to come now. Let's sing together.